You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It has been well over a year since the world learned that Flint was in the throes of an environmental disaster. In the early months of this year, the Flint water crisis brought a steady stream of political leaders promising aid and vowing it wouldn't happen again. President Obama, Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, President-elect Trump. And here we are at year's end, and Flint hasn't seen a penny of that promised federal aid. And now there's a new curveball that could threaten the federal funding. Flint's Democratic Congressman Dan Kildee is here with us now. Congressman, we're talking about what a multi-billion dollar water projects bill. What was in the Water Resources Defense Act for Flint?
There was a provision that would provide $170 million for support for Flint. Part of that might be available to other communities, but at least $120 million would go to Flint. We've been fighting for this, you know, obviously since this water crisis began. We've hit a lot of roadblocks. It took a long time to get many of the members of Congress, and particularly the majority, to acknowledge that there's a federal responsibility to act. And now, you know, we have yet another one of these roadblocks. We've been able to overcome them in the past. I am confident in the next few days we will be able to do that again, and we will simply not give up until we get help for the people of Flint.
And describe this new roadblock, this new curveball.
Well, there's some additional language that's been included that relates to California drought issues, and it raises some questions about environmental policy. You know, there are always reasons to oppose legislation. This was something that was added at the very last minute, I think, because they know that there's a lot of will to pass this WERDA bill, and a lot of that will is based on the acknowledgement that we have to do something for Flint. So in some ways, there's an attempt on the part of Kevin McCarthy, the majority leader of the House, who's from California, to sort of use the momentum that we've created around Flint to get one of his priorities funded. The problem is there's not a lot of agreement around that issue, and it could make it more difficult for us to get the bill passed.
And Senator Dianne Feinstein was the Senate, one behind it. Right.
Right.
And California Senator Barbara Boxer, I heard her, quote, calling it a last-minute poison pill. So
yeah.
Could that kind of opposition tank the entire bill?
It could. We don't think it will. You know, obviously puts all of us in a tough position because there are no perfect bills that ever come to the floor of the House. Very often we have to sort of weigh the positive and negative aspects of legislation, especially when we're not the ones writing it. I mean, the only provisions that we've written are the Flint provisions. And this will be another one of those cases. For me, and I know for Senator Stabenow and Senator Peters, both of whom have been just relentless to get this done, for us, you know, the priority is getting Flint funded. And we will, you know, be able to vote, I think, for this legislation, knowing that there might be some aspects of it that are not perfect, but there's no way in good conscience that Congress can adjourn without getting this legislation for Flint passed.
As we're having this conversation, at the same time on the state level, Federal Judge David Lawson, I'm sure you're on top of this, has ordered the state to deliver bottled water door-to-door to homes in Flint that don't have properly installed filters. He rejected the state's appeal, saying, no, the state needs to bring the aid to the residents and not make them come to haul water home. And now the state's appealing his order to the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, basically saying, don't make us do this. It's too complicated. It's too expensive. With all of this, what we're talking about with this new curveball from the federal side and what we're seeing on the state level, what does it say to you about government response to people in Flint who are in crisis?
Well, I think it says, you know, that there are communities that are often overlooked, that are a second thought. And in many ways, as I've said this before, the response of government to this crisis feels a lot like the conditions that caused the crisis in the first place. The state's willingness to put the health of Flint residents secondary to a sort of balance sheet, bottom line approach to governing is what caused this crisis in the first place. And now we see again, there's always an excuse not to come up with the dollars to make it right. There's always some reason. And it's hard for me to accept that if this crisis were occurring in some affluent, well-connected community, that there would be this sort of willingness to overlook Flint over and over again. Now, here's the thing. we are not going to give up, and we will succeed. We should not have to fight so hard for this, though. It should not be that Senator Stabenow, Senator Peters, and I have spent the entire year with this as our most serious and significant priority. It should have been done right away, right at the very beginning. It hasn't, and we're not going to give up until it does, but it says something about what has happened in this country when a community can be poisoned by its own government and not even have that government step up to make it right.
Flint Congressman Dan Kildee, as always, thanks so much, Congressman.
Thank you.